So today we are reading from Canto 10, the Brahmanas, Wives, Blessed. We are doing text number 24 through 28. So we'll all do 24 together and then individually, and then I'll do the rest. It'll do it by itself. That's it. Tastatha tyakta sarvasha prapta atma didrikshaya vigyaya khila drigdrashta praha prahasitanana tastatha tyakta sarvasha prapta atma didrikshaya vigyaya khila drigdrashta praha prahasitanana tastatha tyakta sarvasha prapta atma didrikshaya vigyaya khila drigdrashta praha prahasitanana. Vigyaya khila drigdrashta praha prahasitanana. Matajis? Tastatha tyakta sarvasha prapta atma vidrikshaya vigyaya khila drigdrashta praha prahasitanana tastatha tyakta sarvasha prapta atma vidrikshaya vigyaya khila drigdrashta praha prahasitanana. Okay. Word for word. Daha, those ladies. Datha, in such a state. Tyakta sarva asha, having given up all material desires. Prapta, arrived. Atma didrikshaya, with the desire of seeing himself. Vigyaya, understanding. Akhila drik, of the vision of all creatures. Drashta, the seer. Praha, he spoke. Prahasitanana, with a smile upon his face. Translation. Lord Krishna, who witnesses the thoughts of all creatures, understood how those ladies had abandoned all worldly hopes and come there simply to see him. Thus he addressed them as follows with a smile upon his face. Everyone can chant. Swagatam vo mahabhaga ashyatam karvamakim yanno didrikshaya prapta upapannam idam niva. Lord Krishna said, welcome, O most fortunate ladies. Please sit down and make yourselves comfortable. What can I do for you? That you have come here to see me is most appropriate. Purport. Just as Sri Krishna welcomed the gopis who came to dance with him at night, he similarly welcomed the Brahmins' wives, whose pure love for him was proved by their overcoming many hindrances to see the Lord. The word upapannam indicates that although these ladies had rejected their husband's orders, their behavior was not at all inappropriate, since their husbands had obviously tried to obstruct their loving service to Lord Krishna. Number 26. Nanvadhamai kurvanti kushala swartha darshina ahaitukya vyayifa hitam bhaktim atma priyayata. Translation. Certainly expert personalities who can see their own true interest render unmotivated and uninterrupted devotional service directly unto me, for I am most dear to the soul. Purport. The Supreme Lord informed the Brahmanas' wives that not only they, but all people who recognize their true self-interest take to the spiritual process of loving service to the Lord. Lord Krishna is Atma Priya, the real object of love for everyone. Although each individual has his own taste and freedom, ultimately every living being is a spiritual spark of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Thus everyone's primary loving attraction is constitutionally meant for Lord Sri Krishna. Loving service to the Lord should be a high to key, without personal motive, and avyavahita, unobstructed by mental speculation, selfish desire, or any quirk of time and circumstance. Text 27. Prana buddhi mana svatma dara patya janadaya yat samparka priya asam tata kona para priya. It is only by contact with the self that one's vital breath, intelligence, mind, friends, body, wife, children, wealth, and so on are dear. Therefore, what object can possibly be more dear than one's own self? Purport. The word yat samparka in this verse refers to contact with the individual self and ultimately with the Supreme Self, the Lord, who is the origin of the individual living being. By developing Krishna consciousness, one automatically becomes self-realized, and thus one's vital strength, intelligence, mind, relatives, body, family, and wealth all become enhanced and brilliant by the central influence of Krishna consciousness. This happens because Krishna consciousness is the optimum efficient conjunction of the individual self, who is pure consciousness, with the Supreme Self and Supreme Consciousness Krishna. And the final verse for today. Tadyata devaya janam patayo vodvijataya swasatram parayishyanti yushma bhir vihamedinaha. You should thus return to the sacrificial arena because your husbands, the learned Brahmanas, are householders and need your assistance to finish their respective sacrifices. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Om Agyana Timirandasya Gyananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Sthapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Svapadantikam Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Adaita Gadadhar Srivasari Gau Bhaktavinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So, I'm going to read text 24 and make a few comments. I also have the commentaries of Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, which I like to read. And then I'll speak a little bit about the different verses that are mentioned here today. So Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, for text 24, he said, seeing them there in that state, standing stunned with the plates of food in their hands, the witness of all people's intelligence, Krishna, began laughing and spoke. So the verse itself says, Lord Krishna, who witnesses the thoughts of all creatures. So Krishna is a witness. He is everything, but he is also the witness. And Shakshi Gopal, remember that story of Shakshi Gopal, where Krishna was a witness for the two Brahmins. So this comes up a lot when we speak of Krishna being the most powerful person, he is the greatest, God is great. And people actually don't know how great God is. So this is one way one can tell. He knows, he's witnessing everything and he knows what everyone is thinking. He is called Trikalagya. He knows past, he knows present, and he knows the future. So he knows everything that was going on, and the Yajna Patnis, he also knows what they were thinking. They were constantly remembering Krishna and chanting his glories. And as soon as they heard the names of Krishna and Balaram, they fainted. So the cowherd boys, they had to get them out of that situation by telling them that Krishna was actually hungry. He knows, Krishna knew everything, but he wasn't very surprised to see them. In fact, he welcomed them. He was very happy that they came, actually. And, you know, sometimes we think that if we do something which will aggravate someone, Krishna didn't think that, well, he didn't have any problems with the husbands of these Yajna Patnis, that they will get angry or anything like that. In his mind, he's thinking, here are my pure devotees, and they are coming towards me. And they also, the Yajna Patnis, the wives of the Brahmins, they also didn't look back. They weren't interested what the husbands or the sons or the fathers, what they would think. They were so much in love with Krishna, and they didn't think anything. Sometimes also when one really wants sense gratification, he doesn't look back. It's said that lust is like that. Lust is as such that one, he has no concern for what happens afterwards. He just wants to enjoy his senses. So this here is the opposite, where one is fully in love with Krishna and he doesn't care what anyone says or what anyone does. Srila Prabhupada gave the example of Rupa Goswami. In that book, the book of the philosophers, Srila Prabhupada is speaking with different disciples and they are talking about different philosophers when it comes to Aristotle. The devotee mentioned that Aristotle, that he had this idea that one can actually become very happy if he thinks of the divine. So then Srila Prabhupada, he quoted Rupa Goswami saying that if a married woman has some paramour, has some boyfriend outside, she does everything at home very nicely to make sure that the husband doesn't think that she has a boyfriend outside. She does all the housework and she cooks very nicely and she does everything very well, so the husband doesn't think of him, of her being with someone else. So these ladies, these Yajnapatnis, they are so much taken up with Krishna that they didn't actually care. The next, Krishna is saying in the next verse, "Welcome, O most fortunate ladies. Please sit down and make yourselves comfortable. What can I do for you? That you have come here to see me is most appropriate." Now this is the opposite of what the brahmanas were thinking. The brahmanas were trying to stop them and trying to get them to stay to help with the with the yagyas, but they decided to leave and go to Krishna. So the word there is mentioned, swagatam. When you want to welcome Krishna, you say, swagatam Krishna, so swagatam Krishna. A devotee is saying, swagatam Krishna, so swagatam Krishna. Swagatam, so swagatam, sharanagatam Krishna. Sharanagatam means to surrender. I welcome you, Krishna, and I surrender unto you. So the ladies, Krishna is welcoming them. You know what he would sing? Swagatam patnis. Yagya patnis. So he's welcoming them and he's laughing and he's having a good time. He's very, very happy that here are my devotees who are coming back to me. And Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur wrote in this, for this verse, Krishna addressed the wives of the Brahmins who were endowed with the greatest prema in a similar manner that he addressed the gopis who came for the rasa dance. Your coming is all glorious, swagatam, because desiring to see me and overcoming all obstacles, you have attained me or you came here. As I cannot repay you in any way, what can I do? I am simply your debtor. You are more fortunate than I am. You should stay here for some time in order to see me. So Krishna is saying, you are overcoming all obstacles just to attain me. So how does that affect us? How does that, what is the message for us in that? That we also need to overcome all obstacles in order to go to Krishna. There are so many obstacles. And even in a day, so many things come up. And now with so many economical problems and so many problems in the world, so many things on the mind, to come to the temple or to worship Krishna, or to even think of Krishna is so difficult. We have seen here so many devotees, they have, I like to give examples of Ramiya Prabhu and Mother Mukhya especially, how they have given up some lot of things to engage in full devotional service. Ramiya Prabhu is a little retired, and it's not like he's a young man, spring chicken. It's not like he is a spring chicken and, he has all this energy and everything, but he wants to give whatever he has, and he serves the temple at the office every day and all day, and he does not take any remuneration, doesn't take any pay. And Mother Mukhya also works so hard to manage this temple and for very little, just to keep body and soul together. And so much sacrifice is being made on their behalf too. And there, of course, there are so many others. Mother Akuti is always engaged in something. She's constantly engaged Every time you see her, she's engaged in some kind of service for Krishna. And not only that, but when they have the services, they don't, if they have to go someplace, they don't just drop it and go. They're so much attached to the service of Krishna that they want to see that the service go on, even though they may not be there. And this is a very exemplary quality for someone to have. You have some service that you need to do at the temple. It's very nice that those who have this consciousness, that they try to make some arrangement. Somebody asks some other devotee, or they, you know, find out from someone else who could do it, or maybe exchange. I cannot do it this day, but I can do it yet other day, and try to exchange your service. And I know Nitai Priya, she is very happy when someone could do that. It's just one less phone call. I live with the head pujari, and it's not because she's my wife, but whenever I'm there, I hear the phone ring all the time, and she constantly have to listen to messages and so forth. Now she's not my wife. Now she is the servant of Krishna. So she's very happy when devotees can do like that, because there are so many messages that come every day. Well, I cannot do this, I'm going out of town, this thing or that thing, so many. And when someone says, well, I'll take care of the service myself, I don't have to put the pressure onto her. So it's very, very nice. Mother Madhurya Leela also, she is the number one in that regard. Constantly, every time she goes out somewhere, she's always making sure that her services are covered and before she goes. So like that, they are very concerned about the service for Krishna. You know, what to speak of doing everything nicely so that Krishna becomes pleased. Text 26 says, certainly expert personalities who can see their own true interests render unmotivated and uninterrupted devotional service directly unto me, for I am most dear to the soul. And Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur said, though the wives were full of the highest prema, fulfilling their desires now would not nourish the rasa. And without nourishment of the rasa, the pastimes would not be attractive. Thus, though Krishna was moved and controlled by their prema, when he began to respond to their love, which arose when they saw him, there was a sudden appearance of his Aishwarya, showing himself as God, by the agency of the Leela Shakti, which caused them to return to their homes. Though this Aishwarya does not usually appear in the presence of those immersed in prema, it made its appearance for increasing their prema through separation and increasing longing in separation for the perfection of the pastimes. Bringing the Lord's Rati under control, it produced reasoning. Thus the Lord speaks in two verses according to the mood of Aishwarya. Those who are clever look after their own welfare, Swartha Darshina. They have devotion which was without personal motives, without any contaminating obstructions, just as the one who has affection for one's own body and husband and other things. So, talking about one's own self-interest. Bali Maharaj, he was talking about Prahlad Maharaj, his grandfather, and he said, my grandfather, he was not interested in anything for himself. His self-interest was Krishna's pleasure. And even when Lord Nrisimhadev asked him for to take his father's throne, Hiranyakashipu's throne, Prahlad Maharaj said, no, I don't want my father's throne. And he was willing to give him liberation, and Prahlad Maharaj didn't take it. So Bali Maharaj was saying like that he understand what his real self-interest is, which was devotional service to the Lord. and So our self-interest is always to worship Krishna, remember Krishna, and engage in service. And that can take many, doing service for Krishna takes many, many forms, as we know. In the next verse, it is only by contact with the self that one's vital breath, intelligence, and so forth are dear to one. Therefore, what object can possibly be more dear than one's own self? So, it is described in the 11th canto, 11:23-22, in the purport. Those who obtain human life, which is prayed for even by the demigods, and in that human birth become situated as first-class Brahmins, are extremely fortunate. If they disregard this important opportunity, they are certainly killing their own self-interest and thus achieve a most unfortunate end. So Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur also mentioned in that a human birth is better than that of the demigods, the ghosts, the spirits, the animals, the trees, lifeless stones, and so forth, because the demigods simply enjoy celestial pleasures, and in other forms of life there is excessive suffering. It is only in human form that one deeply considers one's ultimate benefit in life. Human birth is therefore more desirable than even that of the demigods. So we all have the human birth. And this comes up quite a bit in our discussion with the students at the Santa Fe College. We have books on the table, and many of them will go through the books, and they will ask questions like this, the importance of the human form of life. And of course, there is always the argument that, well, we are in school, we have to become educated, and we have to go through life, and we want to be successful, we have to have a good job, and therefore we should study very hard. And that's, of course, has to be done. But more importantly, one has to constantly, at the back of his mind, think of his spiritual life. Just like the married woman who is doing everything. You have to go to school, you have to take care of the family, you have to do all the duties and clean the house and so forth and cook. But at the like the gopis, constantly at the back of their minds you're thinking of Krishna and chanting Krishna's holy names. Okay, so I'll just read text 28 again. You should thus return to the sacrificial arena because your husbands, the learned Brahmins, are householders and need your assistance to finish their respective sacrifices. So we'll see how the Yajnapatnis, how they responded to that statement tomorrow. Monday. So I'll stop here. Any questions or comments? Adidev Prabhu? The microphone would probably be in there. If you look underneath to your right top.
Seems like the Jagannapatnis, they had just sat down and got comfortable with Krishna, and all of a sudden he tells them to go back. Yeah. So I just wonder if there was a little time there, or if there's any more information about, was there...
Well, all of that is coming up in a few verses.
Okay. You'll hear more about it. We have to wait till Monday.
Yeah. You have to wait till Monday, or you can read it. Yes, Mother Sri Vrindavan.
Hare Krishna. When I was preparing for the class, I came across this description, and I forget what the source was, that the Yajnapatnis actually, a beautiful chariot came and took them back to Godhead, and Krishna expanded their forms and sent those forms to the arena.
Oh.
That's what I
read. Was that like a commentary of one of the acharyas?
Yes. But I can't remember where I read it. I can check it out.
Okay, we'd like to know that. Yeah, that's good. Thank you so much. I mean, it's not hard to understand that, because Krishna can do anything. Yes, Vishwambhara Prabhu.
In the first verse that you read, I think it's like Atma Dikshaya or something like that, but the word-for-word translation said, one, he who is desirous to see himself.
Right.
Right? So, I mean, Prabhupada and Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur translate that as the witness, but, you know, I travel around to a lot of these yoga places, and they're like, oh, we are the divine seeing ourselves, and, you know, and this language almost sounds like that, one who is desirous to see himself. So can you explain that from the Vaishnav point of view?
I guess it that's above my head, but I would imagine, I would think that it means your self-interest. I mean, seeing yourself as being a servant of Krishna, your real self-interest is not all these other things, but to be a servant of Krishna, like the Yajnapatnis are. Anybody would like to comment on that? Mother Lakshmi Muni, seems like.
What comes to my mind is the seeing oneself, you know, Prabhupada talks about how when the sun rises, then you can see everything, including yourself, and when you're in the darkness, you can't see yourself and you can't see anything else either. So when you understand your relationship with Krishna, then you understand yourself, and you see yourself as who you are, the servant of Krishna. I mean, the language doesn't inherently indicate that one is God. You know,
right.
Seeing one, I see myself every day when I put my tilak on, look in the mirror, I see myself. It doesn't necessarily mean that I think I'm God, but I think I'm that body, so I think I'm seeing myself in the mirror. But then when you attain self-realization, you realize you're not that body, that you're a spirit soul, that you have a loving relationship with Krishna. So the add-on, so to speak, that now I see myself, I see that I'm the Supreme Personality, or I see that I'm one with God, is kind of an add-on. It's not inherent in that language.
Mm. Thank you very much. Mahabodhi has something else to say.
Yeah, it's been a kind of like a pet peeve of mine, or a pet
microphone
aspect, is that our true self-interest, you know, we're trying to become selfless, but yet, we only have ourselves to understand everything else. So our first interest would be to ourselves. What is our benefit if we do this or that or the other thing? You know, and we're instructed by the scriptures, by Krishna, by the Guru, that our true self-interest lies in Krishna consciousness. So that's our ultimate self-interest, but we're still motivated by what is best for ourselves.
And that is what is best for ourselves, to be servants of Krishna. You remember Ken from the Krishna lunch. And I had a conversation with him a few days ago. And he is actually like a senior student at the Santa Fe Community College, and he comes for Krishna lunch. And so he was saying that, you know, he really has this urge, this big urge to help humanity and, you know, to do things on his own. And he also believed that whatever he believes, whatever his perception of good is, that is actually what one should do. If his perception is to do good for others, then he should do that. So I brought this point up about, you know, you would like to do good for others, but that's fine. Whatever we can do good for others would be good. Is to feed them or to help them in some way, all that is good. But what's the best thing you can do for them? And during the conversation we talked about, you know, the spiritual benefit that they get is much more than all the other things that we can give them. And he understood it, actually, you know, being an intelligent young man. So, yeah, anything else? Mayapur Leela.
Hare Krishna. I was just wondering, like the Brahmanas' wives, they had spontaneous love for Krishna. You know, they weren't bound by rules. That's why they could just walk up to him. So I was wondering, how does one qualify to have spontaneous love for Krishna? What qualifies one?
What qualifies one, or what is keeping us back from going to Krishna like the Yajnapatnis do? So obviously, this body is one. Just this body alone is considered to be contaminating. What to speak of the body, and then our consciousness, and you know, all the material desires, all these things that keep one down, you anchor us into this world of sense gratification and so forth. So all the things that Srila Prabhupada has given us of how to see everything in this world as being part and parcel of Krishna. When we get to that stage of seeing everything as Krishna and Krishna's, and be a yes man for Krishna, anything that there is to be done, yes, I'll do it for Krishna. Srila Prabhupada, when he sent his disciples all over the world to preach, he would be very happy when he sees that they are making so much advancement. Grihastas, he said, they are all householder couples, but they have understood and they're taking up this process so seriously. They're sacrificing their life for the sake of Krishna. So when we get to that level of sacrificing everything and being in this mood of the married women who are, they have their household duties but they're constantly thinking of Krishna, when we get to that level, then we will also develop our spontaneous love for Krishna. Yes, back to Charles.
Men always seem to stay at home. I mean, is this something trying to tell us something, you know, that we got a problem or what?
Did you say it's only the women who does this kind of thing?
Well, who go
to
Krishna.
You mean the paramour?
Yeah, I mean.
Well, the example is given by Rupa Goswami, and he mentions women. But I'm sure that there's also on the other side. I'm sure there are also men who could do that. And in fact, everyone, in the eyes of Krishna, we are all women. In the eyes of Krishna, men and women are women. So we wouldn't, the men wouldn't be disqualified if they actually do that. If they actually become a param, if Krishna becomes their paramour. Yes, Trivikram Prabhu.
I think in a verse later on, Krishna told the ladies that you have to go and serve my deity form, render service to my deity form, and seeing me now, that is not enough, but you know, you have to do all these things and then you come back to me.
Yes, it's a lesson for us that what Krishna is saying is, don't just come to see me. Even Srila Prabhupada was very happy when he's in speaking of Jayananda Prabhu. Srila Prabhupada would be very happy whenever he would go to visit San Francisco or any of those places. And Jayananda would always be doing some service. And he marked that that Jayananda was constantly doing service, and he very much liked that attitude of service. That you know, that it's okay for the disciples to come and see their spiritual master, but for one who is constantly in that service of the spiritual master, that is better. Because if you go see your spiritual master and you don't understand the service attitude, then it's a lesser position than one who knows that my spiritual master needs this service. He has given us some responsibility. He wants us to go out there and distribute the books and to do Harinam and to engage in his service. So that's why Vani is considered to be more important than Vapu, serving the instructions of the spiritual master rather than the than just the being in his presence of his body, Vapu. So Krishna is telling the gopis that also. I think it's mentioned in the purport, one of the purports coming up, that that's there. Okay, Mahaburi. This will be the last one.
Weren't there the great sages that went through many, many years of austerity to become gopis in their next lives?
Can't hear you so good. Can't hear you so good.
What about the great sages, the men who were constantly going through so many austerities to become gopis in their next lives so they could serve Krishna as gopis?
They became women. They became gopis. All those great sages, and even those who were they served, those devotees who have served Lord Ramachandra, and also those who were serving Krishna in the form of gopis, they were all great personalities, great sages in their previous lives, as described. And not all of them, but some of them. Okay, we'll stop here. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.
just adding the D, it gives a nice. Anyway, that's just, so just kind of do that a little bit.
Anyway, very nice class. So glad that you spoke. I was excited. I said, I'm gonna stay and listen to Kate's class here.
Yeah. So, okay, I'll let you go.
I remember you gave a class in Pamihati.
In Sewell?
In Sewell.
Oh my God.
Yeah, I was quite new. Like, I remember 85.
Yeah, I think I came here. I think 85. Yes, 85, 86. That was, I think 86 might have been when I took in December. I have to check my old passport. I got it. Mm-hmm. But yeah, it's off. I can drive by and beat the horn when I see it. I gotta beat the stadium at 3:00. You're always encouraging to me, and you remind me, and you know you don't have an attitude about it.
Some people.
You know.
Although you got a couple to tell people.
I'm trying to do so. I have a home. I got a family. I gotta take care of them. You know? So I have to do that.
Up one for the other.
Because, you know what? Let's ask your first general analysis. If you don't take care of your life, you're stupid. Is it going to be more problems? Thank you.
can come from.
It does, but you know, even like, and it feels good to be like a professional.
Yeah.
Because even I've had it where, you know, somebody will say to me, man, why don't you get a job? Why don't you get a job? It's like, what does it do? You know, I mean, whatever you want. Mm-hmm. But three businesses, this and this and this, because you can't tell. It's like I'm missing biker times once. Do you see him? So you can't judge
them. Yep. Okay.